I say that a lot at work, actually, because I work with kids with autism, and it's like, oh, hello, friends. How are we today? So we're usually quite good. And I'm hoping you all are quite good today, that you're coming here rejoicing in what the Father has for you and what he desires to speak for you today. Gosh. So I got asked to speak a couple of weeks ago, and I really had no clue what I was going to talk about. And spent some time just praying and thinking and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I know sometimes you guys can relate to that. When you're waiting for God to give you an answer about something and you're just not hearing a response. And it's starting to feel like, well, God, it's time. Like, why am I not getting an answer? There's a deadline. I'm supposed to be teaching on the 15th of July. Where is the meat? Where's the inspiration? Where's the push? And so Eric and I have been out of town quite a bit. We haven't been here the last two Sundays. And so kind of like, all right, well, I'm not even really sure what's been happening at TLR to be able to feel like, what is the message for the people? But just trusting that God was going to provide that message was a spiritual practice for me over the last several weeks. So we were in Florida with my family last weekend attending a wedding of one of my cousins, and I was just getting ready one morning, and in my mind just popped the thought, who are you in Christ? And I was like, it's the message. I mean, God didn't give me any more than that in that moment, but it just was that little kernel, and so hopefully it will bloom into something that God desires for you to hear, and not just something that I feel like I'm supposed to teach about, and just meets you kind of where you're at. So before we do anything else, let's just pray and allow God to open our hearts. Father, we thank you so much for this gathering of people here today. God, I know and I trust that you brought each of them here for a purpose. God, you brought them here for relationship. You brought them here for learning. You brought them here for healing. Father, we know that your word does do all of those things. It brings us into relationship with you and with others. It brings us knowledge and truth, and it does bring us healing in the deepest parts of our souls that need healing. Father God, as we try to grasp what it means to have an identity founded in you in these 2 weeks, God, I pray that it would go beyond these sessions of us sitting in here and listening and responding. But Lord, it would go to our every moment life where we learn to put on something new and put off the old, to be renewed in our minds and to not be stuck in old patterns and in old ways that prevent us from knowing you. God, help us not to believe the lies of the enemy, the lies of our culture, the lies of our own voices in our heads, telling us that we're something that we're not. God, prepare our hearts for your word today, that we may know you more and better as we continue on throughout this week. I pray for these things in your name. Amen. So, I mean, I think I'm probably similar to a lot of you other people out there, recognizing that identity is something that I've struggled with throughout my life. For my struggle, it's not been discovering my identity more than it is me grasping onto a certain identity and holding on to it with all my might and not wanting to let go of it at all. No matter what the circumstances are saying, no matter what God is saying to me, I am this person. I am not letting go of it. And when you tend to define yourself by how well you work and how well you're performing, when you lose a job or you don't get the kind of grades that you're looking for, things tend to crumble around you. Because if your focus is this one particular thing and life functions outside of that, you crash and burn. And I've crashed and burned more than once, because I don't learn my lessons very well. I have to keep practicing them over and over again. And I think that's the way of life, is we learn something maybe a little bit one time, and then we have to keep doing it again and again until we really grasp it and learn it and hold on to it for ourselves. One of the things I've seen in myself is when I'm grasping onto this identity that's not really the fullness of truth of what God says about me, I get this tunnel vision. I miss out on opportunities to minister to other people. I miss out on the joy of difficult situations and seeing the bigger picture of how God's working. I focus on me, 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 and what I can get out of a situation rather than the cool things that God brings in when things are different than what you expect. Walking through a season right now where Eric and I are preparing for marriage. It's definitely a different role than I've ever experienced before because I've never been married. I am a very independent person, and I like to do things my own way. Yes. And for those of you who are married, you know that that doesn't work very well. So, you know, just walking through that process of learning how to do shared decision making has been something that's really challenging for me. Learning how to become a stepmother is also an interesting new role. So know that where I'm teaching from today is really something that I'm learning and still working on. So I don't have this all figured out. This is a process for me too, but I know that all of you guys are walking through change in some way or another. There's some difficulty that you're experiencing too that's challenging your idea of who you are. But know that it's not a bad thing, that God's bringing beauty out of that refining that's happening in you. So the thing I want to focus on today is just understanding where our sense of ourselves comes from outside of what God says about us. And knowing that these messages that we're getting all the time about who we are predominate what God says about us, because we're not listening to God's voice speaking truth over us all the time. We're listening to what our family says about us, our circumstances, what they say, what we feel inside of ourselves, what that says about us. And knowing that those things can really be lies and being able to call those things out. So let's just get that foundation laid for us today, and then we can move on to just the truth of what God says next week. So all right. Of course, I have PowerPoint because I think if I tried to teach in a place where there was no internet and no computer technology, I would be probably pretty hampered. So on with the PowerPoint. So the question of the week, this is the Who Am I series, our two-week series here. The question of the week is, who do you think you are? Most of the time when we've heard this question, it's been pretty combative. It's your mother telling you, who do you think you are, when you've done something kind of ludicrous. And so, you know, we can be asked that in a really aggressive way, but we can be asking ourselves that question in a really helpful way. And so I want us to ask it in a really helpful way this week. So my first question for everybody is, what tells us who we are? So what are some of the things that influence our perspectives on our identity? Media. It's a big one. What'd you say?
Culture.
What else gives us an idea of family, for sure?
Relationships
is a biggie. Failures and successes. It's like the reinforcer and the punisher. I'm a behavior analyst, so I think about most stuff and the idea of a reinforcer and a punisher, and so reinforcer is you're going to get more of it in the future if it's really a reinforcer. You're going to get less of it in the future if it's a punisher. So if you're failing at something, you're probably going to avoid doing that in the future. Yes, your work position can determine your identity and what happens when that work position changes. Sometimes it's a pretty significant loss of identity. So some of the things I came up with: personality, experiences, your family, the roles that you play. You can have roles in a lot of different situations. You can have roles in the community. You can have roles in your family. You can have roles at your job. Just different things that you place upon yourself. Society, the culture, media, those types of things do give us messages about who we are. And our biology, to be perfectly honest, gives us messages about our identity. I mean, there's lots of research out there that talks about gender and why women are kind of a particular way and men are kind of a particular way. Some of those things are environmentally determined and societally determined, but some of them are really biologically determined. And so we can't let go of that completely. So the next question, so how do those voices, those different things, change how we behave? How do they change our identity? Right. We have to let them in. We have to let them have a chance to speak to us or speak over us. So, well, I'm thinking about, like, so we allow them in, then what happens? What do we do differently? We believe them. So we start acting the way that they say that we should act, or how we do act. It affirms that.
I think sometimes we want approval and we want to belong. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're doing kind of pushes us in an opposite direction of those things. We might change in order to feel a sense of belonging, purpose, identity.
Right. Right. It's all about kind of the belonging sense is what Brandon was talking about. And being a part of a group, you want to belong. And so whoever you're with, you're going to start behaving more like them to be accepted by them if you really care about that group's approval. So some of the things I thought about, it modifies our behavior, as a behavior analyst would say. You practice your identity, so you might get some approval for that identity, and then you might do that again. You see that a lot with teenagers, with certain peer groups that they're with. So they're just trying stuff out to see where they feel like they fit. And we all do that, too. When you're an adult, you still do that. It may not be as obvious, but we do practice identities. And we see other things doing and follow what gets rewarded. So we're good observers of people. We do the things that get what we want to see in our lives. And so we might copy them, even if that identity isn't really the one that we're supposed to have. So the next thing I want to do is actually show you a clip from the movie Shawshank Redemption. I really love this movie, but it is full of a lot of language, so I want to warn you about that. If you're very sensitive to that, you will hear some things. But the most important part of this is we're going to be looking at a scene where there's an inmate named Brooks. He's an elderly man who's been in prison since he was about 22 years old. He is then released for parole. And we're kind of going to see the effect of him living in prison for as long as he has had on his life in the outside world. So give me a second while I get this set up for you.
Brooks ain't no bug. It's just institutionalized.
Institutionalized my ass.
The man's been in here 50 years, Haywood. 50 years. This is all he knows. In here, he's an important man. He's an educated man. Outside, he's nothing. Just a used-up con with arthritis in both hands. Probably couldn't get a library card if he tried. You know what I'm trying to say?
Red, I do believe you're talking out of your ass.
You believe whatever you want, Floyd. But I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized.
Shit. You can never get like that.
Oh, yeah? Say that when you've been here as long as Brooks has.
Goddamn right. They send you here for life. That's exactly what they take. Part that counts, anyway.
I can't take care of you no more, Jake. You go on now. You're free. You're free. Dear fellas, I can't believe how fast things move on the outside. I saw an automobile once when I was a kid, but now they're everywhere. The world went and got itself in a big damn hurry. Got me into this halfway house called the Brewer and a job bagging groceries at the Foodway. It's hard work, and I try to keep up, but my hands hurt most of the time.
Make sure your man double bags. Last time he didn't double bag, and the bottom near came out.
Make sure you double bag, like the lady says. Understand?
Yes, sir. Surely will. I don't think the store manager likes me very much. Sometimes after work, I go to the park and feed the birds. I keep thinking Jake might just show up and say hello, but he never does. I hope wherever he is, he's doing okay and making new friends. I have trouble sleeping at night. I have bad dreams like I'm falling. I wake up scared. Sometimes it takes me a while to remember where I am. Maybe I should get me a gun and rob the Foodway so they'd send me home. I could shoot the manager while I was at it. Sort of like a bonus. I guess I'm too old for that sort of nonsense anymore. I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time. I've decided not to stay. I doubt they'll kick up any fuss. Not for an old crook like me.
us, not for an old crook like me. P.S. Tell Haywood I'm sorry I put a knife to his throat. Hard feelings.
He should have died in here.
I mean, that was a pretty serious example of what happens when you function in a particular identity for such a long time. When your circumstances change, that becomes the end. Brooks completely lost hope. He didn't know how to live in the world outside of the jail. He even called the prison his home because he started behaving such that that was the place that he knew how to function. If you haven't seen the movie, Brooks was the older statesman at the prison. He had authority there. He was the librarian, so he was an educated man. But then he lost his ability to be an authority. He was out there being given a handout, essentially. And he wasn't able to even function in the job that he was given as an opportunity for him to be able to re-enter into society. I think sometimes we walk through our lives in prison. This idea of our identities becomes so comfortable to us that when Christ offers us the opportunity for freedom, it feels like more of a prison. We have to remember that there's something new and something bigger out there than what we believe about ourselves. We're going to take a look at a couple of verses here about Christ changing our identity. It's from 2 Corinthians 5, it's 16 through 19. I really like the Message version because in some of the other versions it gets caught up with some more churchy terminology that I think can be kind of confusing for people. And I want you to be able to grasp onto the beauty of what Paul is trying to speak here. This passage was written by Paul, who is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. And he was trying to say to these people, hey, it's not about what you think about yourselves. It's about what about Christ thinks about you. And so not about evaluating other people on the basis of what we think about them and what we see in them, but what Christ says about them. So I'm just going to read this to you guys, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. And when he's talking about this decision, the decision he's talking about is the decision to follow Christ as their Lord and Savior. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. So one of the major points here is that the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and to be this grand ruler, to come and take over and to put the Jews in this place of honor and to rule the world. But Jesus came as this really simple guy. He was a carpenter. He was a workman. He wasn't a high-class individual. And he came into Jerusalem on a donkey. He wasn't coming with an army. He was coming with all of these disciples that were fishermen and tax collectors and also not the high class of society. They weren't highly educated, but these were guys just coming to bring the gospel to the city and then to the world. So he's talking about how they messed up in their idea of what the Messiah would be like, and Jesus came looking so much different than we expected. So Paul is saying to us, we all look different than what we expect. We're not going to be these glorious things riding in on horses with an army. We're going to be simple people who've been revolutionized by the love of Christ. So we're not supposed to evaluate on the outward appearance. We're supposed to reject what society says about how we're supposed to look. We're supposed to reject what society says about what we need to have for status, what we need, how much money we need to make, what our houses need to look like. That's not our identity. That's a false thing. That's an idol. One of the major things I want you guys to see is that God gives us the opportunity to have a fresh start. We all have and harbor identities that are fake, that aren't the truth of who we are. But God gives us an opportunity to make it new, to start over again, to say, all right, God, I keep messing this up on my own. I consent to having you come into my life and start working on me and making me new. Not that being made new is what gets us to God, because God accepts us as our ugly, messed up selves. He wants us to come to him that way. He doesn't need us to clean ourselves up. He wants to come and clean us up. And that's the beauty of it all. And so then our new identity comes from that relationship with Christ and not from anything else. So I really would love to jump into the many, many, many verses that are out there about who we truly are in Christ, but I'm going to save that fun for next week. So I figured that before we can start working on who we need to become and the identities that God speaks over us that we have trouble with, we need to figure out where we have trouble. And since I love homework and I love having us write stuff down, I created this little sheet that asks you these questions. Oops, I skipped over some of that. It's called Who Am I? Just want to, for us to take some time right now to look at these questions and evaluate ourselves a little bit about who we think we are, where that identity comes from. Like, what are the influences that have hurt us? What are the influences that have helped us in our lives? We're going to take a few moments to do that. I need to be far away from the mic. Hopefully I made enough. And if we need more, I can make more copies. Yeah, there's more over that direction. So when you're thinking about your identity, think about... You want me to go that way? Okay. When you're thinking about your identity, think about your occupational identity. So what do you do for a living? What makes you tick where that's concerned? Think about your relational identity. What kind of relationships are you in, and how does that define you? Think about your social identity, what things you like to do. Think about, like, your hobbies, those types of things. And think about things that you kind of struggle with, too, like about your body image, about your just maybe sins that you struggle with. Those things play into identity. And then figuring out from the sins that you struggle with, that can, when you backtrack a little bit, that can help you find the places where you have messed up your identity. So spend some time thinking about these things and working through them. I'm going to give you like 10 minutes. You've got time. So chill, pray, think, work through it, and then we'll come back together and talk a little bit. So do it. It's church work, but there will be homework. You need from me to see.
save my soul.
Cables and I put them out. Oh, well, there's not that many more in there that are functioning. Gotten a good start on this. I realized that some of this will take a lot more time and focus and attention than just a couple of minutes. But I want to really encourage you to spend some more time with this week. And my challenge to you is to take this and to have a conversation with someone that you trust, that knows you well, and to talk about these issues. I think that's a really good starting point to start figuring out the things that are really needing some healing in your life, because we all have them. And so once you start identifying those things, I think it's easier for next week when we start talking about what Christ says about our identity, for us to be able to look at what the scripture says about us and to be able to start replacing some of that negative, ugly identity that needs healing in each of our lives, and knowing that Christ has the power to do that in us and that we're not stuck where we are. So one of the reasons why I showed you the Shawshank video is a recognition of how our circumstances changing can put us into a tailspin. I think a lot of us are closer to a tailspin than we even realize. I mean, how an illness or a loss of a job or getting a big raise at work or your kids leaving a home or getting married or getting divorced, how those things can truly affect your identity in such a way that you're like, I don't know who I am anymore when you've lost that life circumstance. So it's hugely important for us to recognize who we truly are in Christ, because that's something that doesn't change. Our circumstances change, but Christ never changes. And what he says about us doesn't change either. So next week we're going to spend a lot of time with our buddy Paul that we heard from today a little bit. I think he knows a lot about identity and how to grasp onto Christ in the middle of some really challenging circumstances, because he was bitten by a snake, shipwrecked. He was hungry and thirsty, attacked, and just was constantly on the move. But yet he was so confident in what Christ said about him. And so I think we can learn a lot from that, because we can be confident in what Christ says about us despite all of the messages that we're hearing around us each and every day. So just want to pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for the way that you speak new truth over us. God, that when we become one of your children, our identity is different. We're not controlled by our old ways anymore. where we have your spirit inside of us to change us, to be able to teach us something new, the truth about who we are. We're not bound to this world anymore. God, I pray that you would help us to break out of the prisons of our lives and stop clinging on to those jails as something that's comfortable. God, but recognize our new freedom in you as a gift and an opportunity to be able to be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, follow us around this week and don't let us off until we have that conversation with someone that we know and love about who we are. God, I pray that they would be able to speak truth into our lives, that we would be able to dialogue about what it means to truly be your child. Lord, and that you would start that process of healing in us in those broken places that need you the most. God, I pray that those things would no longer prevent us from living lives of victory and freedom in your kingdom. I pray for all these things in your great name. Amen. Amen.